When I stand in glory, I will see his face, and there I'll serve my King forever in that holy place, heaven. That's a wonderful, wonderful thought. Let's pray as we begin tonight. Father, we're grateful to be able to come together as a body of believers in our Lord Jesus Christ. We're thankful for the redemption that we have in him. And we are thankful, Lord, that you have given yourself for the church. We praise you for that. We praise you for our salvation and how that you have changed our hearts to be Christ-like from walking in the world. And so, Lord, we are grateful that you interceded in each one of our lives for that, to be changed. You continuously change us, and Lord, as we walk in this world, help us to be more Christ-like, because we know that that's what your plan is, to conform us to be like Christ. I pray, Father, this evening now, as we look at another part of heaven, that you would encourage us through that. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, about a month ago, I think it was, we were here on a Wednesday evening. We began to talk about heaven. I said that I wanted to talk to you about this because it's a topic that I think about a lot, perhaps more as I get older, but I do think about it a lot, and I think about the blessings that we have and the things that we have to look forward to in heaven. The scriptures mention the hope of heaven a lot. Pastor Jeff has just finished on Sunday morning the book of 1 Peter, and he talked about the inheritance that we have. Peter says that it's imperishable, it's undefiled, it will not fade away, and it's reserved for us in heaven. In that book also, the assurance of getting home to heaven, and that heaven is that special place. The Bible, Paul said in Romans 12:12 that we should rejoice in the hope of heaven, and he was looking forward to that. He said, for me to live is Christ, but to die is gain, and his hope was the hope of heaven. There are many other scriptures that encourage us of what God has prepared for us in heaven. In fact, I think I mentioned the last time or something like 579 times that the word heaven is referred to in the Bible. And we addressed some questions last time about heaven. You know, we asked the question, what is heaven? And we said that even the word heaven describes in the Old Testament, it means where the celestial bodies revolve, and that it's a higher place. In the Greek text, it refers to it as a higher elevation. And we said that it's the abode of God. It's where God is. It's his realm. It's the realm of God. It's called paradise in the Bible. It's the place where the redeemed of God are. And it's a literal place. It's a literal place, like Minnesota is a literal place, or like the United States is a literal place. And it's not located in time and space. And we don't have a map in the back of our Bible that says this is heaven or this is how you get there. But it is a literal place. And then we ask, you know, where is heaven? And the Bible continuously refers that heaven is always up. Jesus ascended up into heaven. The new heaven and the earth comes down from heaven. Paul said he knew a man caught up into the third heaven. And so throughout the Bible, heaven is always referred to as being up. It is where God is, The last time we used some figures and distances to give us an idea of how far it is. How far is it to heaven? And yet we've seen in the scriptures that it is far, it's a far distance, it encompasses a lot, it's large, but yet it's very near. The thief on the cross said, Jesus said to the thief on the cross, "The day you'll be with me in paradise." We know that when we will be taken up, it'll be in the twinkling of an eye. That's not even a blink of an eye. It's about a quarter of that. And so we recognize that heaven is large and it's big and those things. So Paul said, "I was caught up to the third heaven." He didn't really know what was going on. He said, "I don't know where I was in my body or out of my body or anything. I just know I was there," and he was back in the same, just that quick. So we know that heaven is far, and yet it is near. The Bible says that when we go there, it will be quickly. Then we looked at what heaven is like, and we've seen that in Ezekiel chapter 1, and we used Revelation chapter 4, gives us a glimpse of the throne room of God, the blazing lights, the flashing off of polished jewels like colored wheels of light and rainbows, the judgment of God all together with angelic beings and the called living beings, the 24 elders, the 24 thrones, and a sea of glass. And all around the throne, we've seen the eternal splendor of God flashing. And then we've seen the glory of His majesty in His sovereignty and on His throne in all His splendor. And so now tonight, I want us to look at another question. I want us to look at the question of what we will be like for us in heaven. What will we be like? And the Bible teaches that we will experience the eternal perfection of body and soul in heaven. And that is to say that the perfection of the whole person. Heaven is a perfect place for people. It's for people that will be made perfect. We will be made perfect there. And since we as human beings are soul and body, we will be perfect soul and body forever and ever in this place of perfection called heaven. And when we think of the redemption that we have in Christ Jesus, it's not only to forgive us of our sin, but it's also to make us perfect for heaven. The whole idea is to get us to dwell forever in the presence of God in perfection. Salvation is a process. When we came to Christ, we were born of the Spirit of God, born again into a new hope, a living hope, and we were positioned in Christ at that time, not to lose that position, and to be fully forgiven. And that began the process. Paul says in Romans 13:11, "Now is our salvation nearer than when we believed." We are still in a process of being saved. We're heading for the celestial city where we are made then perfect. And that salvation work has already begun in the salvation of our souls and changing of our inner man that we know as the new birth. So here's the point we need to understand. Our soul has been redeemed, and deep within your human soul or spirit, God has planted new life. The life of God is in you in the form of His indwelling spirit. But it cannot fully be expressed yet because it is hampered by sin. We're all hampered by sin. And so we're looking at heaven. The heaven prepared for by God for His people. And I get more and more excited about this the more and more that I read of it. We can get caught up in this world and the many things that we all have to do and the schedules and so forth and sometimes overlook what our great joy will be in heaven. So, when we die, the moment we die as Christians, we will have a perfected soul and we will enter into that perfect place called heaven in the presence of Almighty God and be made holy. Paul says, far better to depart and to be with Christ, and we will be with Christ. And when our souls go to be with the Lord, we will be free from all of the evil. Revelation 6:11 says that they were given to each of them a white robe. And these are the martyrs, but the white robe is a symbol of their absolute and utter perfection. So what is it like to have a perfected soul? Well, here's what it's like. Never a sinful thought. Never a selfish thought. Never an evil word. Never even a useless word. Never an unkind thought or deed. Perfection in everything. Think about that. Perfection in everything. A lot of you in your jobs or in school or in the things that you do, we're always changing things, or we're always, oh no, that wasn't right, we have to do it this way, and so forth. But there won't be any of that. Never a bad thought, never defiled, never unclean, never imperfect, never doing anything but what is absolutely righteous, holy and perfect before God. Have you ever thought about being in and living in such an incredible way? It's completely foreign to us. At least it's foreign to me. It's hard to imagine that. No imperfection, absolutely none. No temptation will ever come upon you. Satan will not be there. The world will not be there. The fleshly desires will not be there. There'll be no persecution. There'll be no ISIS. There'll be no abuse there of any kind. There'll be no division. There'll be no arguing. No discontent. No complaining. No disharmony. No disunity. No one out of disagreement. No politicians slamming one another. Nobody killing one another. There will be no quarrels or no fights. Everyone will be perfect, of the same mind. There'll be no disappointments. There'll be no anger, no road rage. There'll be no effort, no loss of energy, no getting old. There'll be no repentance, because there'll be nothing to repent of. There'll be no confession of sin, because there'll be no sin to confess. There'll be no weeping, because there'll be nothing to make you sad or to cry about. There'll be no sickness, there'll be no cancer, no flu, no colds, no hospitals, no jails, no nursing homes, no mental institutions, no income tax, no cars falling apart. Sounds pretty good, doesn't it?
Amen.
There'll be no armies, there'll be no navies, there'll be no soldiers, no guns, because there'll be no danger and no temptation, no trial of any kind, and there'll be perfect pleasure forever in God's presence. If you look with me to Psalm 16 and verse 11, just real quickly, because I think it says, in His presence is joy. But it says, in your presence is fullness of joy, and in your right hand there are pleasures forever. And let's just meditate on that for just a little bit. In your presence is fullness of joy, and in your right hand there are pleasures forever. That's what it'll be like in heaven. You'll be with Christ and see Him in all His splendor, and your joy will be in fullness. Your joy being in fullness can't be any fuller than that right there. Think about that. You can't imagine anything that would be a fuller joy. And whatever pleasure you have had in your life, the greatest, the most fun you ever had, or whatever you did, I think will be nothing in compared to what this pleasure will be. There'll be perfect knowledge. We know as we are known, or will be known as we are known. We will know in a complete way. We will comprehend in a complete way. There will be perfect comfort. So what does that look like? Perfect comfort. No aches or no pain. And every perfect comfort. In Luke chapter 16, this is refers to Lazarus and the rich man. In verse 25, Abraham is speaking, and he said to the rich man, he said, "Child, remember that during your life you received your good things, and likewise Lazarus bad things. And now he is being comforted here, and you are in agony." And this describes perfect comfort. In perfect love, we will be absolutely at the peak of comfort every moment throughout all of eternity. We'll never have one uncomfortable moment. You'll never, never have one uncomfortable moment. Think about that. It's incredible. No one there will be uncomfortable. There'll be no type of anything that can make you uncomfortable. So we sum that all up to be His perfect joy. And we say heaven is a place of unending joy. Joy inexpressible. Heaven then is a place of joy. And any kind of joy that we have, even at this point, is nothing compared to what we will experience, maybe 100 times more in heaven. So heaven really is defined in its purest, simple terms as a place of unending joy. And think about it, hell is just exactly the opposite of that. Now, death also means separation of the body and soul. Now, the bodies go to the grave and the spirit goes to be with the Lord. Well, for how long does that happen? Well, only until the resurrection. Jesus said in John chapter 5 that everybody is going to rise from the dead, everybody. He said in verse 28, Do not marvel at this. The hour is coming in which all who are in the tombs will hear his voice and come forth. Those who did good deeds to a resurrection of life, and those who committed the evil deeds to a resurrection of judgment. In the present time, the people in the church who have died are in heaven in spirit. And in the present time, the unbelievers who have died are in hell in spirit. But there's coming a great resurrection. And at that time, the resurrection, the bodies of the redeemed will be joined to their spirits, and they will be in the eternal protection of body and soul together. And all the time of the at the time of the great resurrection, the bodies of the ungodly will be raised from the graves as well, and they will be joined to their spirits so that the body and soul will endure the torments of hell forever. God created us as male and female to be body and soul, or body and spirit. So, it's the same thing. Paul says about the believers, their body. Look at 1 Corinthians 15:43, beginning at 43. We're going to look through 49. 1 Corinthians 15:43-49. It is sown in dishonor because of sin, and it is raised in glory. It is sown in weakness. It is raised in power. It is sown a natural body, and it is raised a spiritual body. Now, what does it mean by that, a spiritual body? And I want us to see this. He is saying it is a body that can express itself in spiritual ways. It is a body which expresses the spirit, the needs of a perfect spirit. That is what we will be like. So what's your body going to be like? It's going to be imperishable, that it is never decays. You'll never lose any parts of your body. There'll be no operations. You won't be turning over your skin every 7 years. There'll be no decaying process in your body. It is an imperishable body. It will be permanently and eternally perfect, never changing. Adam, the natural man, sinned and brought death on the human race. The last Adam brings life. The spiritual is not the first, but the natural, then the spiritual. Verse 47 says, the first man is from the earth, that's Adam. And the second man is from heaven. And as is the earthly, so also are those who are earthly. And as the heavenly, so also are those who are heavenly. So now think about that. It's a huge insight. As we are on this earth like Adam, we will be in heaven like who? Like Christ. And verse 49 says, just as we have borne the image of the earthly, we shall also bear the image of the heavenly. It's incredible. We're going to be like Jesus Christ. We're going to be exactly like Jesus Christ. So what's that like? He was incorruptible. He was eternal. He's glorified, and we shall be. He's spiritual. He gives expression to a perfected spirit through his glorified humanity, and so shall we. You look at Philippians 3:20, it's a great statement. Philippians 3:20, it says, for our citizenship is in heaven, from which also we eagerly wait for a Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who will transform the body of our humble state into conformity with the body of his glory, by the exertion of the power that he has even to subject all things to himself, the body of his glory. Now, when you think about that, we've been saved to be conformed to the image of God's Son, and we are predestined to be comforted to the image of his Son. Romans 8:29 says we're going to be like him. And 1 John 3:2 says, because we shall see him as he is, we're going to be like him. So what is he like? Well, you stop and we think about it. He walked on water. He walked through walls. He literally was lifted up or flew when he was raised to heaven. He could move wherever he wanted to go. It's incredible to think about it. Luke 24 says he sat down and he ate with his disciples. He broke bread with them and he ate fish. He asked for something to eat and they gave it and he ate it. And Revelation 22 says that there will be fruit tree bearing trees in heaven for the healings of all nations. And like Christ ate, after his resurrection, we'll eat. And he didn't need to eat. He ate for the joy and the pleasure of it. And so we'll spend eternity eating of the fruit of the heavenly trees, not because we need it, but because we will enjoy it. So what does all this mean to you and to me? Let me tell you what it means to me. The more and more that I look at this, the more I long for heaven. And we should. This should be our intense focus, if it isn't. If that's not in our thoughts, it should be. If we're finding our joy and our comfort in this life, in this world, and heaven does not appeal to us, That's really irrational as believers. We're idolizing a sinful, decaying world, and we're not really focusing on the goal of God, which is to make us like Christ. The goal of God is to conform us to Jesus Christ. So if we're longing to hold on to this world and we want to stay here, and we like the comforts of it, then we need to really think twice about this, our salvation, our beliefs in Christ. Because if we think like that, we're really contradicting the goal of God. And we're really seeking what we will never find, because no one can be satisfied in this world. And so, as we go on as believers in Christ, the world will always be around us, and we'll be there's going to be disappointments, there's going to be discouragements here, but we as believers have the greatest future that anyone could ever have, and that is our future is in heaven with Jesus and with God. And so think about that just as our devotion tonight. Many things are negative in life, but this is so positive. As believers, we need to really rejoice in the future that we have. Let's pray together. Father, thank you for the hope of heaven and for the fullness of joy and pleasure that will be ours in eternity in heaven, in your presence. Father, here we suffer with all kinds of disappointments and of all kinds of sufferings, many with health issues, marriage problems, children, family. But in heaven, there'll be none of that. And as we looked at these things tonight, we so often think how they would even be not present there, but they won't be present there. It'll be a perfect place. We'll be perfect in body and in soul. And so we are grateful to you for that and providing it for us. We thank you for the promises of the joy and the pleasure that we'll have with Christ in glory. And that you keep us, you protect us, you provide for us here. Lord, we rejoice in that. Thank you that we have one another in the local assembly. Thank you that we have the promises of your word that you will get us home. And that we will have this great future one day. So we praise you tonight. We thank you for it. I pray that you would bless our time now as we come before you to pray together as brothers and sisters and to bring requests before your throne, which you made available to us at all times, any time during the day. Well, we're thankful for that. And we ask these things now, a blessing on our time in Jesus' name. Amen.